Be tolerant to their appearance. Be tolerant of their appearance. The guy was trying to get his dad to buy him a car for graduation. And his dad said, well, give me one biblical reason why I should buy you a car. And he said, I don't know. And then he said, well, Dad, you know, and his dad was getting on him about having long hair. And he was talking to him. He had long hair. He wanted to drive a car. And his dad said, well, give me one biblical reason why you got long hair. And he said, Jesus had long hair. And his dad said, and Jesus walked everywhere he went to.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of Ain't Understanding Mellow, Part 2. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of Ain't Understanding Mellow, Part 2.
And women are coming from totally different perspectives. Men have a high ability to compartmentalize, and women have a low ability to compartmentalize. What am I saying? You know, if you get into discussion sometimes, you know, as a man, you know, you might say, be it talking about one thing, and then all of a sudden, your wife will bring up something else. And what will men say? Well, you jump into another subject. And what will the lady say? No, it's all together. It's all related. So you know, brothers compartmentalize, and you know, I tell you what, ladies, y'all be messing us up sometime. You know, you know, as you go down to the second one, we're not multitask-oriented. You know, men are not multitask-oriented, and y'all be putting too much on us. Now, look, let's stay on this subject right here. Now, you done jumped to something else. You know, you see women, man, they be carrying the baby, cooking, talking on the phone, answering the door, doing all this, man. You know, brothers say, look, man, leave me alone, I'm cooking. You're messing up my flow. You're messing up my mind. That's when your ladies be getting mad. Down there, left the key, can't get in the house, knocking at the door. You know, the brother's up on the phone. Why didn't you come answer the door? Because I was talking on the phone. You can't talk on the phone and answer the door? No. So, you know, we got to realize that there's different levels, and we're coming from different directions. Men have a high ability to control their emotions where, you know, they can, you know, most men, things will hit them and they'll be strong, but, you know, women, you know, something will touch their spirit and all of a sudden the tears will start to flow. And then the brother will say, oh, man, here we go again. Here we go again. Men, let me let you in on a little secret now, ladies. Men have a high ability to zone out. You be talking to a brother, and you think he's listening, and you think he heard everything you said. But I just tell you, just stop in the middle of it and say, can you repeat the last sentence there? Brother, man ain't got a clue. Yeah, you said such and such. I said that an hour ago. Men in conversations, you know, they want to focus on the facts. You know, let's get to the facts. You know, if I come and I got something to tell my wife, you know, I can have that story told in about 30 seconds. When my wife comes to tell me something, you know, it's a long time. And you know what that is? That I think the average woman has about 25,000 words a day. And the average man only got about 9,000. That's true. That's a fact. So now, if I've been on the job and I've been talking to people all day on the job as a man, and I get home, well, I done used up my 9,000. I done used up my 9,000. So, you know, I might have about 500 more left. So that's why when I come home, I tell a story. I get it done in about 100 words because I know that I'm going to have to spread my remaining words out over the rest of the evening. So I try to portion them out. Men want to make a decision and take action. Let's do it. You know, let's make the decision and take action. Women want to talk about how I feel. Well, this is how I feel. You know, they want to get into their emotions, and they want to talk about, you got to understand where I'm coming from. You got to, understand that this is what I'm dealing with. Men get excited by sight and images. And, you know, we're not going to stay on this too long. I just want to go by it. And women get excited by feelings and touch. So, that women need to understand that about men. Now, men don't need to be taking that off in an area where it's not glorifying God, all right? So I'm going to say that right now. But, that's just the way that we're made up. Men want the conquest. You know, we want the conquest. Women want the nurture. Men want to provide. Women want to feel secure. Men want to be respected. And women want, to feel loved. And so, we need to understand that sometimes there are barriers to understanding because we're coming from totally different perspectives. And I tell you what, it would be very liberating in relationships if men understood those things about women and women understood those things about men, and then we could work according, to those particular situations. If not, if we don't understand the differences, then we're going to continue to bump heads and we're going to continue to clash and we're going to continue to have issues. Back to barriers to understanding. Barriers to understanding. The last one was different perspectives. The next one is an unwillingness to be touched and influenced by somebody else. To be touched and influenced by somebody else. What do I mean by that? That when you open up a person to try to understand them, what you are opening up yourself is to be influenced by them. You are opening yourself up to be touched by them. And so as you begin this journey of understanding, you've got the purpose somewhere early on in the journey that I'm willing to be influenced. I'm willing to be touched by what's on your heart. I'm willing to be touched by whatever it is that you're dealing with. And if I'm not willing to be touched, if I'm not willing to be influenced, then the chances are that I'm not even going to try to understand where you're at and what's going on with you. And then the last thing is what I'll call failure to listen empathetically. And what does that mean? Once again, it means that you're not listening by putting yourself in the other person's place. There's a slide that I have, Levels of Listening by Stephen Covey. And in these levels of listening, notice the progression. The first one is what he calls ignoring. And what is ignoring? Ignoring is just not listening at all. You know, we have an expression today that we do what? Talk to the hand. Talk to the hand. So what are we saying? I don't want to hear what you got to say. I don't want to understand you. I don't want to hear what you got to say. I don't want to know what's going on inside of you. I don't want to know what's in your heart. Talk to the hand because I'm not listening. The second level of listening is what is called pretending. And that is acting like you are listening when your wife is talking to you and you're watching the Steeler game. That's pretending. Now, we got some good brothers in here, We got some good brothers in here, and I know they're saying, well, I listen to my wife when the Steelers are on. Yeah, right. Right. So there's pretending. And then there is selective listening. And that is that you select what you want to listen to. You know, you hear what you want to hear. You listen for certain things. And, you know, it's just like, you know, a child. You know, you listen to a child, and after a while, a child goes on and on and on, and you're hearing what they're saying, but you're not really tuned in, listening with your heart. And then that child say, like my granddaughter said last night, she was in my study, I was working on my message, and she was asking me, Pop, why you got pewters in here? And, you know, she was asking me all these questions. And then the one thing she asked me, or she said, I got a bellyache. Well, at that point, you know, all the other stuff that she said, I might not necessarily heard what she said. But when she said that, I focused in. And I said, well, you need to go tell grandma that you got a bellyache. So that's selective listening. And then there is attentive listening. Attentive listening, and that's when you put your energies there. That's when you are tuned in with all your mental prowess. You are locked in on what the other person is saying. But then there is the best kind of listening, and this is what Covey calls empathetic listening. And this is when you get into this person's frame of reference. This is when you see things how they see it, you feel how they feel it. In other words, it's putting yourself in that other person's shoes. It's walking in their shoes, feeling what they felt. And when you get to that point, that level of listening is when you begin to understand. And so as you look at this right here, you know, just real quick, I would like to ask, most of you, don't raise your hands, but raise your hand in your heart. What level of listening are you on in communication with those around you? And you might want to ask the question, what level of listening are those that I'm in relationship with, on what level are they listening? Because, you know, there'll be some people here say, nah, I done figured out my husband. And I figure out, you know, that he is a selective listener. Or, you know, he's a pretender. Or, you know, he's an attentive listener. But then, you know, if we're going to understand, then we've got to be empathetic listeners. As we go to the next point, places where where understanding is necessary. Places where understanding is necessary. Look at 1 Peter chapter 3, 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7. And Peter speaking on the relationship between husbands and wives, he says in verse 7, in like manner, you husbands, dwell with them, or your wives, according to knowledge. And some translations have according to understanding. That the husband should dwell with his wife according to understanding. That the husband needs to understand the needs and the heart of his wife. That this is one of the first places where understanding needs to be seen is in the marriage. Now, once again, we can flip the script and we can say this is equally true for the wife, that the wife needs to know the needs and the heart of her husband. In other words, you need to get a PhD in your mate. Whatever your wife's name is or whatever your husband's name is, you need to put an ology on the end. And that's the PhD that you need to get. You know, I figured out one thing. There was a song, once again, that I used to listen to back in the 70s, and I figured out why this person didn't have a lot of friends, and it was because people didn't understand him. As a matter of fact, the songwriter said, John Shaft, nobody understands him but his... She was the only one that could understand him. That's why he wasn't in a relationship. He was always going around killing people. Why? Because folk didn't understand him. The only one understood him was his woman. Well, if nobody else understands you, your woman ought to understand you. You know, I thank God for my wife. You know, she understands me. You know, I know my wife is very meticulous. She keeps a clean home. She wants everything straight and everything she wants in order. And sometimes I get busy and I'll come in and I'll put my coat here. I'll bring my books up into the bedroom and be reading books on the bed, leave stuff on the dining room table. And my wife, I know she don't say anything. Why? Because she understands me. Nobody understands him but his woman. No, she don't understand. She just know how to put up with this. She just know how to put up with me. She's learned that art. But, you know, in a marriage, there needs to be understanding. That husbands and wives need to hear what the other person is saying. They need to meditate on what the other person is saying, and they need to put themselves in the shoes or feel the feelings that the other person is going through. That's why I didn't read the scripture when we were back there, but Romans 12, I think it's 14, says, weep with those that weep and rejoice with those who rejoice. Why? Because you need to feel what's going on in them. You need to know what's happening. The second thing, the second place we see where understanding needs to take place is in the family. Understanding needs to take place in the family. Proverbs 24 and verse 3. Proverbs 24 and verse 3. It says here, through wisdom is a house builded. And when it's talking about a house, it's not, you can't build a physical structure with wisdom. You got to have some bricks and nails and mortar. So it's not talking about a physical house, all right? Through wisdom is a house builded, and by understanding it is established. That if you are in a family, then there's got to be understanding. You've got to give that leeway to try to understand that person. You know, parents have got to try to understand their children, and children have got to try to understand their parents. Let me give seven tips to teenagers. Seven tips for teenagers to try to understand your parents. Seven tips for you to understand your parents. Number one, don't shy away from speaking their language. Whatever language your parents speak, you ought to try to speak it. All right. Now, we know you got your own language. We know you got your own thing. But why don't you, you know, once again, you know, understanding is a two-way thing. You know, we're trying to work this thing out together. Why don't you try to speak what the language that your parents speak? Number two, try to understand their music. When they talk about old Blue Eyes, Frank Sinatra, all them, and you get, you know, try to understand their music. No, I didn't say listen to it. I didn't say get your groove off of it. I didn't say that. I said, but just try to understand, well, what's in that that they like? You know, what is it about that that is appealing to them? Try to understand your parents' music. Number three, your parents are not perfect. Be patient with their weaknesses. They're going to make mistakes. They're going to do the wrong thing. Be patient with them. Don't go off on them. Don't diss them, but be patient with them. Encourage. Here we go. Here goes a good one right here. Encourage your parents to talk about their problems and be ready for you to be. No, I'm just kidding. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Encourage your parents to talk about their problems. Now, be willing to hear that, you know, we trying to figure out how we're going to make the house note this month. You know, we're trying to figure out how we're going to keep food on the table. You know, you might hear some of those kind of things. Number five, be tolerant to their appearance. Be tolerant of their appearance. The guy was trying to get his dad to buy him a car for graduation. And his dad said, well, give me one biblical reason why I should buy you a car. And he said, I don't know. And then he said, well, Dad, you know, and his dad was getting on him about having long hair. And he was talking to him. He had long hair. He wanted to drive a car. And his dad said, well, give me one biblical reason why you got long hair. And he said, Jesus had long hair. And his dad said, and Jesus walked everywhere he went to. So be tolerant. Be tolerant of their appearance. Number six, if they do something you think is wrong, let them know that it's their behavior that you dislike and not them. Number seven, above all, pray for them. Above all, pray for them. Now, I said that because these are what? These are seven tips that every parent needs to exercise in dealing with their children too. This thing is vice versa. And so that if we are going to be in relationships, that we need to have understanding, because understanding is the foundation to relationships in the home. And then finally, where do we need understanding? Well, Paul says we need it in every relationship. He says that we should look upon the things of others in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 4. In other words, what he was saying, that we need to try to understand what's going on in the lives of those people around us, that we need to try to understand and grab a hold of what's going on. So as we come, I got halfway through the message today. I'll finish the message up next week. I still got half my message left, so we're going to be moving on. But I just want to say that as we come, that we need as individuals, and I like what Stephen Covey says. He says, seek to understand before being understood. And sometimes we get so frustrated because we feel that people are not understanding us. And maybe a part of the reason why they're not understanding us is because, you know, we're not trying to understand them. You know, I think of a verse in Psalm 103. Let me see if I can find it. It just came in my spirit. Psalm 103 in verse 14. In verse 13, it says, as the father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knows our frame, and he understands that we are just dust. God understands who we are. God understands that we are sinners and that our hearts are not geared toward loving him and serving him. God understands that. He wants us. He understands that so much that he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sin, because God got us. God understood us. And he knew that he had to send his son to die on the cross for our sin so that we could live the way that he wanted us to live. And if God did so much for us because he understood us, how much should we be willing to do with those who are in relationship with us and try to understand them?
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of What We Do Here Matters. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, Ain't Understanding Mellow Part 2, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Ain't Understanding Mellow Part 2. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Ain't Understanding Mellow Part 2. or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 8 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.